Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Teamsters claim another breakthrough at Amazon, this one in Southern California. Meanwhile, 2,400 workers strike at the University of Washington. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and the United Food and Commercial Workers, their health and welfare fund. Welcome to the Tuesday, June 13th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. Frank Matthews will be joining us as our first guest. Frank is the Administrative Director for CWA District 4. That includes the states of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Today, well, at least in the first segment, we're going to zero in on the state of Ohio, where voters will decide issue one in August. If voters approve it, this issue, very controversial, it would amend the state constitution to require future amendments get a 60% supermajority in a statewide vote. That's compared to the current 50% simple majority standard that's been in place for more than a century. One person, one vote. And there was a minor victory yesterday in the Supreme Court, Ohio. They upended a limited victory to opponents of State Issue 1 by ordering Republican state officials to rewrite the ballot language, summarizing the measure's effects. They could have gone further, but they didn't. Frank is going to talk about that. And, of course, the campaign that unions are mobilizing to make sure that this goes down in defeat on August 8th. That August 8th may not happen because the previous legislature said no more August elections. They're too costly. This one is going to cost voters in the state of Ohio, $20 million. So that's another ruling that we're waiting for. So if that happens, this probably can be pushed to November. We'll see what happens. It's a fast-moving target. We're going to also talk about some strike action. If you go to the national page of the Communication Worker, CWA-union.org, you will see a strike alert at five companies across the country. Some of them have, well, they're not settled, but the workers are back at work, and that's the one at Gannett. We talked about this last week with the News Guild. The News Guild is affiliated with the CWA. The strike that Frank is going to talk about is the one at Maximus. This is a federal call center, and the CWA reports in their largest worker action since November of last year, Maximus Federal Call Center Workers, members of Call Center Workers United, CWA, took part in a one-day strike across five states protesting the layoff of 700 workers last month. The actions in Florida, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Virginia come as the call center workers play a key role in helping people transition into exchange plans and a massive Medicaid redetermination effort. In addition to calling for protections against unfair layoffs, the workers also demanded a living wage of $25 an hour, real opportunities for career advancement, and an investigation of Maximus, their labor practices, by the Health and Human Services Secretary. So a lot going on there. CWA-union.org for more information on that, and also the CWA in general. Glenn DiBiase will be joining us as our second guest on the show, and he is a fund administrator for the Food and Commercial Workers, their National Health and Welfare Fund. Glenn has spent his career, entire career, serving members of collectively bargained health and pension plans. Listen to his background here. Prior to being appointed as administrator, he held various leadership and benefit administration roles for ERISA plans, specializing in new participation, fund mergers, turnarounds. In addition to his positions in fund administration, Glenn has served as a board member, business advisor, and adjunct professor for much of his career. He has a master's degree, MBA, PhD in computer science, and he is a sought-out authority in subject areas like business process reengineering, healthcare analytics, and cybersecurity. He has technical certifications from MIT and has published articles on artificial intelligence. That's a whole show in itself. UFCWNationalFund.org is the website. And Glenn is going to talk about, well, a couple of things. The need to modernize healthcare benefits for labor unions. Focusing on mental health resources. So important. We're hearing so much of that in the news. He also wants to talk about how labor unions are driving innovation within healthcare benefits and can be the model for other industries to save costs while not sacrificing care. When you're in a union, you know this. You got your wages are going to be higher, at least 10% higher than non-union. And then you throw in those bennies, and that makes a big difference, especially as we grow older. You really count on those benefits. So Glenn DiBiase will be buttoning up the show with us on America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. The Teamsters are on a roll. Their organizing drive among Amazon drivers and other workers is speeding up in Southern California with a second success there in the last 2 months, third overall since February. The win among 300 workers at the Smart and Final Distribution Center in Riverside comes on the heels of the victory shortly before. The 84 contract drivers at Battle-Tested Strategies, BTS, in Palmdale won card check recognition and quickly reached a first collective bargaining agreement, and they ratified it. It was a unanimous vote. We talked about that on the show. That's with Local 396. Now, enforcing that contract, that's another matter. BTS's owner is apparently willing to work with the union, especially to keep Amazon's business, since Amazon is their biggest customer. Amazon's not happy about this. They're, well, you know how anti-union they are. This is an independent contractor. They don't want any affiliation with unions, but the struggle goes on. Before both victories, Commerce California Amazon Distribution Center workers went with the Teamsters in February. That was a Local 630. And that local also won Smart and Final. The Teamsters recognize Amazon as, in the words of Union President Sean O'Brien, quote, an existential threat, end of quote, to their core trucking and warehousing businesses. He said they established a new division to organize Amazon with a planned multi-million dollar organizing budget for a multi-year campaign. By the way, the 300 Riverside workers voted to go union by a 4-to-1 ratio. Let's go to Seattle now. All through labor and civil rights history, we've heard of peaceful protests, sit-ins, sit-downs, peaceful factory operations. Well, now, the 2,400 postdoctorate workers and research scientists and engineers at the University of Washington have come up with a new one. They walked into the university's administration building, this is in Seattle, found large conference rooms with desks and chairs lined up in a hollow square paralleling the walls. They sat down, they raised their fists in solidarity, and they didn't budge. They called it a work-in. How about that? The workers were forced to strike last week, June 7th, after months of talks that went nowhere. They also drew support from hundreds of protesters in an open letter to management. The workers are members of Auto Workers Local 4121 and were forced to strike by their boss's refusal to budge on pay. They tried other ways to get contract talks off dead center, including crowding into a State Board of Regents meeting to get the board to get their bosses to bargain. The workers had a contract, but it ran out at the end of January. The research scientists and engineers unionized a year ago and started bargaining for a first contract in August. University's response? Nothing. Stonewalling. Katie Osterhage is a research scientist in family medicine. She said, a strike is a last resort. We don't look forward to the disruption to our research, but our demands are critical to enabling us to focus on the work we love, and which makes the University of Washington a top-tier research institution. Unfortunately, the administration has put us in a position, this position, and a strike is the only remaining option to secure fair contracts. Another person, Lucy Baker, postdoc in mechanical engineering, she said, researchers at this university are struggling to afford the basics like rent and putting food on the table. Yet instead of paying postdocs fairly, the university would rather insist we're not covered by Washington's minimum wage law, which is contrary to a choice by voters that the people should be paid a living wage. By the way, the university also has 6,000 academic student employees. They're not on strike. But they're not crossing the picket lines either. This is crazy. We're getting more and more stories on what's happening at universities, very costly universities that are not paying their people well. We talked about this yesterday at the University of Michigan. Graduate workers on strike since the end of March because they're not being paid a living wage. Latest on the strike authorization vote at Unite Here. This would be Local 11. Well, on Friday, Los Angeles area hotel workers approved a strike with 96% of the vote. Union is pushing for a $10 per hour wage increase and improved family health care. Workers have highlighted how furloughs and irregular work have made it harder to become eligible for health care through their employers. They've also argued that low pay and the L.A. region's high housing costs have forced them to live far from their workplaces. One union member said she commutes 2 hours each way to work. Can you believe that? 4 hours a day total, driving to and from your job. Union is also hoping to get more job protection for its members after hotels use the COVID pandemic to cut staffing and increase workloads. Kirk Peterson is co-president of Unite Here Local 11. He said the union gave its first proposal in April, but has only recently heard back with any counter proposal. Now, get this. As many as 15,000 hotel workers could go on strike 4th of July weekend if the parties cannot reach an agreement by then. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's L-I-U-N-A.org. nursesfirst.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
You'd like to upgrade your fund's vision care, but you need to roll back the clock on the cost. Roll it back to the 70s. iMed offers members 76% average savings versus retail on eye exams, glasses, and contacts. Enjoy similar benefits to an indemnity plan, but with consistent savings and a better experience. Endorsed by the National Labor Alliance, iMed takes a consultative approach to tailor your vision insurance benefits. Learn more at iMed.com/union. Figures based on client data. Visit iMed.com/union for more details.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this upcoming segment is brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-666-2185. You can find them online at ulagency.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. All right, let's go to our live line and join one of our longtime regulars, proud supporter of America's Workforce. That would be the Communication Workers of America. National website, CWA-union.org. Mr. Frank Matthews joining us. Frank is the administrative director for District 4, which includes five Midwest states. Today, we're going to focus on one of those states, Ohio, at least in the first segment, because we've got a big issue coming up in the middle of summer. August 8th, issue one, which would kind of silence the vote of a lot of people that want to change the Constitution. Mr. Matthews, welcome back to the show. I guess we had a bit of a victory yesterday in the Supreme Court of Ohio. Maybe you could fill us in. Go ahead.
Yeah, yesterday the Supreme Court, a lot of interested parties filed suit against essentially Frank LaRose and the folks in the Ohio House and Senate that put this ballot measure on and are putting this on our special election in August. And, I guess the bottom line was that the language the politicians wanted to use and the special interests, especially the special interests that are pushing this bill, wanted on the ballot, was full of mistruths and kind of deceiving, is what the Supreme Court is saying. So, despite all of this, the attempts by the special interest and Frank LaRose to mislead Ohioans, the court has ordered Frank LaRose to rewrite his misleading ballot title, the ruling was good, but we must continue at full speed to defeat this issue. I mean, the stakes couldn't be higher. For over 100 years, one vote, one person, one vote has ruled Ohio. But, essentially what they're asking is that 40% now suddenly becomes more important than 60%. So, in a nutshell, if the folks in Columbus pass something that Ohioans don't agree with, that all of a sudden it becomes, instead of 50% plus one to overturn it, 60%. So you're actually giving more power to a minority of voters than you are a majority, and that's not the way Ohio's worked and democracy's worked for, like I said, over, I think it's 111 years. So, we're really pushing hard. We must defeat this, and this isn't a partisan issue per se. It's because this could affect anybody on the political spectrum. If the powers that be 10 years from now, if the powers that be in Columbus would pass something that even people on the right or left don't approve of, do we want to have to to generate 60% to overturn that. It's kind of like an insurance policy for the politicians that, hey, you know, no matter what crap we pass, it's going to be tough to get 60% of Ohioans to overturn it. And so you're basically making the vote of that 40% actually count more than 50% plus one. So, you know, we're sticking with the one person, one vote. You know, you know, that's the way it has to be. The special interest who bought this election, you know, all of a sudden Frank LaRose prior to this said that August 8th special elections were a big waste of money and you know, and poo-pawed them. Well, now all of a sudden he's for it. And, you know, they want this for one reason. Big corporations and fat cat CEOs want to be able to use their bought and paid for politicians in Columbus to pass something and just jam it down Ohioans' throats, and we don't have a recourse to overturn it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess it's as simple as this. One person, one vote. That's the way democracy works. Not, you know, if I'm in the minority, my vote actually counts 1.25 people, you know. I mean, that, I mean, it's crazy. I don't understand it. I think it's counterproductive, and it's politicians in Columbus should be worrying about important things like roads and broadband and making lives better for Ohioans, not ensuring that any political minded rulings that they make or bills that they pass are covered with some sham of you know, needing a 60% margin to overturn.
Let's talk more about the August date. The Supreme Court has a separate case on that. It may not happen. They didn't rule on that yesterday. I didn't see any indication of that.
Right.
So we're going to find out whether or not that's going to happen, because it's going to cost us taxpayers $20 million. $20 million for that special election that, as you pointed out, Mr. LaRose didn't think was a good idea because nobody shows up and they're too costly. Well, he's right about the costly part.
Right.
No doubt about that. So we'll see what happens. You know, to your point, how this can affect both sides, we had a conversation last Monday with the head of the Florida Education Association. By the way, those of you that missed that, just go to awfpodcast.com. It was last Monday. And Andrew Spars, the president down there. Well, in Florida, and you know how Florida has gone so far to the right, they have that 60% threshold, like what they want to do in the state of Ohio. And you know what they have in the Florida Constitution? Collective bargaining rights enshrined in the Constitution. So because of that 60%, they can't do anything. They can't get to that threshold. So, yeah, it works both ways.
Yep.
It works both ways. I mean, we're happy about that, that they have collective bargaining rights, because they're attacking unions left and right down in Florida. Now, getting back to Ohio, talk to me about the campaign that the CWA is going to do to get the message out to voters. Frank, you know this is a tall order, because in the middle of summer, first of all, people aren't paying attention. They're going on vacation. They're getting ready for their kids to go back to school, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes this election, if it goes on August 8th. We got to mobilize the troops here. What's the game plan, to your knowledge?
Well, we're working with the Ohio AFL-CIO and many groups around Ohio with a common goal of driving people to the polls. In a perfect world, I would, you know, we are recommending folks early vote, request an absentee ballot. Folks can go to our, you know, we're really, really mobilized and working hard, because to your point, the whole purpose of the August special election isn't to have a special election. It's to have an election when very few people will vote. That increases their odds of being able to pass this, you know, garbage move, and to try to steal our rights away of the one person, one vote. And, you know, that's the whole objective. That's the reason for the special election. That's the reason the special interest groups and the corporate interests want this. And so, you know, we're working hard. Folks can go to our CWA D4, that's all small case, CWAD4.org, and you can go and learn a lot about this special election. You can learn about the election calendar, voting requirements. You can even have a voter registration form on there and an absentee ballot request and learn more about early voting. The important dates that people need to remember is that if you aren't registered to vote, you must register by July 10th. And August 1st, as of right now, is the must date that you must register for an absentee ballot. And then, of course, the election's August 1st is the must request date for an absentee ballot, and then August 8th is the election day, as of right now. And you know, it's just important that everybody turn out. They're having this special election for a reason, you know. And one person, one vote works. That's democracy. And we have some politicians in Columbus and some special interests that are trying to steal that from you and I. And they're trying to steal it from, to our point, members on both sides of the political spectrum. I mean, you know, control in Columbus ebbs and flows. And at the end of the day, regardless of the issue, democracy is 50% plus one. Mm-hmm. And it's one person, one vote. And if we don't wake up and we close our eyes and we ignore August 8th, that's going to be stolen from Ohioans. And at that point, you know, how do you keep rampant politicians in check? I don't know that you can.
That website that Frank was talking about is CWAD4.org, CWAD4.org. And there's a story posted there, Ohio, vote no on issue one on August 8th. Do check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More Frank Matthews later in the show. We're going to go to Glenn DiBiase. He is the director of the National Health and Welfare Fund of the United Food and Commercial Workers. All part of America's Workforce. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-union.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next portion of the show brought to you in part by iMed. Switching to managed vision care may save your fund money and deliver a better experience. So here's what you do. Go to imed.com, EYEMED.com/union, and you will learn a whole lot more.
Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, national website, cwa-union.org. If you go to the homepage, you will see a lot of strikes going on. Some of them are not striking now, some of them just a couple of days, but the bottom line is people are very uneasy at their workplaces, especially when it comes to getting better wages. We need better wages, especially with the inflation that's intact right now and still escalating. And there's at least five places where there were strikes. We talked about the one at Gannett. Here's North Star Aerospace. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that's been going on since last fall. Business Insider, which is now the Insider. And some of these are affiliated with the News Guild. But Frank, talk to me about the strike at Maximus. Maybe you could give us a little background. This is a call center for a federal call center. Give me some details on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Maximus is our federal government's largest call center employer. They primarily handle, I believe it's like Medicare questions, CDC questions, and folks that want to sign up for Obamacare or have Obamacare questions. It's a big call center. They're like the largest that our federal government has, and they're not a very nice employer when it comes to our members wanting to organize. And so members have just had enough. I mean, last month over 700 employees were laid off, and it's the second layoff of the year. And it's believed, first off, the CWA did file an unfair labor practice against Maximus for all this activity, and the charges allege that some of the workers laid off, it was in retaliation for speaking out, referenced the working conditions and unlawful severance agreements. And what I mean by unlawful severance agreements is, when they break ties with these folks, in order for them to get their severance money, make them sign agreements to non-disclosure agreements that they can't talk about how bad Maximus is, or they can't talk about how bad the working conditions are. That's flat out illegal. And they've interjected themselves into an organizing drive by implying promises to employees, forcing, which is, we've talked about for years here, these employers forcing employees to attend these closed-door meetings, urging them to reject the union. And then, as I said, the severance agreements where, they agree to pay folks their severance pay, but they have to basically restrict from speaking publicly about anything bad about Maximus. So, it's they're one of the employers that that's names come up over the years. And back on June 1st, we actually had a group of these call center workers go to D.C. to talk to Xavier Becerra, who is the Health and Human Services Commissioner there in D.C., and basically implore the commissioner to investigate Maximus. So, talk about fed up. There's people that are fed up out there with their working conditions, with their hours. Companies are making money hand over fist. And to your point about the wages, I saw a thing yesterday that said that not only just with inflation, but with productivity, if our wages, employees' wages, would have risen along with inflation and productivity, folks should be making over $25 an hour just to keep up with where our how we lived and our cost of living in the 70s. Instead, corporations are making more money. Corporations are getting tax breaks, and the working middle class is, the only thing they're getting is is the requirement to maybe work one or two or three jobs to keep their lifestyle up, and keep the kids going to college, keep the food on the table, and it's sad. Productivity since the 1970s has quadrupled, while wages have stayed stagnant. And I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but the employees that make these companies successful and do the work, that's the only way a true economy works, is if we don't have anything against those at the top making money. To make 400 times, for a CEO to make 400 times what the average employee makes is obscene, in the last 30 years to skyrocket. But we don't have anything against corporations making money. They have to make money. But these CEOs and these corporations need to know that you have to report, you have to, reward, as Sherrod Brown says, the dignity of work. And that's not being done right now,
These are federal call center workers. So it sounds like Maximus, they're contracted then with the federal government. And if that's the case, the federal government should have some pull in all this, right?
Exactly. And that's why the group went to D.C. These folks have been organizing with CWA for a while. And it's a lot of games being played by Maximus, and it's time for the games to stop if we're truly going to move forward. Especially and grow the middle class. It's time for these corporations to quit playing games with groups that want to organize and employees that want to better their workplace.
Yeah. Well, with the power of the CWA behind you, hopefully they'll come to some resolve on this. And I just want to point, I saw this story on the national website of the CWA out of Colorado. I don't know if you caught this. Colorado Public Employees Workplace Protection Act, SB23-111, has officially been signed into law. Thanks to the efforts of CWA activists who joined forces with other pro-worker activists and lawmakers to secure the passage of this historic bill, public workers in the state of Colorado will be granted important workplace protections that most private sector employees have had for 90 years. Hard to believe, for 90 years. And they point out that the National Labor Relations Act, which was passed in 1935, and the Colorado Labor Peace Act, passed in 1943, granted organizing rights to private sector employees, but excluded those same protections from workers in the public sector. And this legislation will change that, and it will affect 250,000 public sector employees across the state of Colorado. Frank, that would not happen if it wasn't for what your union, the CWA, and how you partnered with other unions to make a good change for workers in the state of Colorado. That's what it's all about. Now, I want to get back to issue one. Frank mentioned at the first segment, there's a couple of websites, CWAD4.org. That's a vote no on issue one, which is on the August 8th ballot. And you're saying there's another website that we should go to. Which one would that be, Frank?
Yeah, it's votenoinaugust.org. And it's an exceptional website that that folks can go to get up-to-date information on voting no on issue one. You can also go on there it's laid out really cool, much like our site. It tells you how you can go. You can, with one click, you can request an absentee ballot. It shows you how to request it. It even gives you the click on it, print the form out, and take it down to your county board of elections, or mail it to your county board of elections. It also lets you find your early voting location, because some counties, they have one, and they sometimes don't try to make it real easy to vote early. You can click on it. You can even click on to find how to update your voter registration. But it's a great site, and it's paid for by an organization called One Person, One Vote. And it's really good. It's, at this point, it's what they don't want us to have, which is information. And you know, we're trying to make it easier for people to vote and to make their voice heard in this August 8th special election. And it is special. I mean, folks need to mobilize and realize that this may be, you know, we always say, this next election is the most important election of our lives. Well, in Ohio, this August 8th special election, it's not hyperbole. It will be the most important election for Ohioans in my lifetime, because if the special interest in the corporate CEOs and the you know, politicians that don't necessarily have our best interest in mind have their way, they'll run unfettered, unchecked, because, you know, they'll know that regardless of what they do in Columbus, you know, it's going to take more than 50% plus one to overturn them. It's going to take 60%. And that's not democracy. So
no.
It is the most important election, you know, of our lives, I believe, and we just need to get out and vote and make our voice heard.
Okay, here's the website, votenoinaugust.org, votenoinaugust.org, and also the CWA's website, cwad4.org, District 4, cwad4.org. All right, Frank, hang in there, brother. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Take care, Flash. We'll see you.
All right, quick break. When we come back, Glenn DiBiase will be joining us on behalf of the food and commercial workers. He's going to talk about their National Health and Welfare Fund. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. In fact, we'll be hearing from Melissa Cropper 1 week from today. Right now, though, let's go to the state of New Jersey. And joining us on line number two is Glenn DiBiase. Glenn is a fund administrator. He's here to talk on behalf of the Food and Commercial Workers National Health and Welfare Fund. He has spent his entire career serving members of collectively bargained health and pension plans. I'll tell you, this is such an important issue. Glenn, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today, brother.
Oh, Flash, thank you so much. I appreciate being on here, and thanks for the nice introduction.
And I was reading at the top of the show, I tell you, you've got... quite an experience here, a master's, an MBA, PhD in computer science. You've talked to, about subjects regarding healthcare analytics, cybersecurity. You've done it all. And artificial intelligence, that would be another show. We'll have to bring you back on that. But right now, let's talk about the National Health and Welfare Fund on behalf of the food and commercial workers. And this is a fund. Why don't you explain in your words what this is all about? And the accomplishments over the years. Go ahead.
Sure thing. It's a national fund, a lot of locals tied to the unions in regional areas, but we're part of that Taft-Hartley, if you want to look it up, 1947 legislation. Those that administer the benefits on behalf of the union workers need to be separate entities. It is an ERISA plan. You can read up on that, too, from 1974. There are these contribution dollars that come from payroll deductions from these employers, multiple employers. And the uniting thing is they're all part of this food and commercial workers. So they're union workers. Contribution dollars come in. They come into the fund. So three different entities. You've got the union. You've got the employers where the unions work, where the contribution dollars come from. And then you've got the fund, and I'm on the fund side. So we administer benefits. In this case, it could be pension, but in this case, it's mostly health and welfare benefits. We're like a captive insurance company, and we're not in that. That's what distinguishes us from being a commercial insurance company. And there's a lot of things that come with that, with care and special touch. That make us a little bit different. So we try to make scarce use of every one of those contribution dollars to maximize the benefits on behalf of our membership. The members call in here, they get a person. It's a different type of thing. There's a relationship and a care that you don't get with a commercial plan.
Well, you got a lot of folks to take care of in that fund. The UFCW is made up of 1.4 million members. And you mentioned costs. We all know about health care costs, and we all know about how funds go up and down. How are we looking with the National Health and Welfare Fund, Glenn?
Well, there's been a big modernization here, which is nice, and I think that's one of the reasons why they brought me in, and with the technology background. Yeah, it's exciting because there's industry changes post-pandemic. The whole world changed. We have inflation. Healthcare inflation is even higher than that. And so there's a real challenge. How do we stretch the dollar? How do we do more with the same, or in some cases, maybe even more with less, to make both of our constituents happy, the employers and the union as well? So there's been a lot of modernization. We've been building out this extended health ecosystem, if you will. Sounds fancy, but you know it's not so easy and it's not so intuitive either. What's the right thing to do for a plan like ours that's national? And it seems like what we've been doing and what we've been getting good positive feedback from our membership is building out these advocacy groups. You know, we see. Sometimes we're in middle aged, you got parents and you got kids, you could be sandwiched. How do you see that everybody gets an advocate and looking out for the holistic health care? So partnerships that we've had with advocacy programs like we've done with Empirix Health, with an advocacy program, somebody looking out for them on the RX side, even on the weekend when you know might not be able to get somebody. Things like that, the population healthcare analytics that you mentioned, we find that the big areas are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, and it's no surprise. So we're building advocacy programs in there. We've done something recently with the Cancer Study Group, Cancer Navigator. A member, unfortunately, gets diagnosed with a horrible situation like that. They've got an advocate to go to. They're going to stay with them and help them go to the best facilities, best providers, based upon big data, based upon, mm-hmm. you know, stats and whatnot. So it's building this out. It sounds, you know, doing – the words are easy, yeah. Flash, but doing it – I'm tired.
Glenn, we're seeing a lot of health care plans. I could speak to it in my place of employment, the stress on wellness. You know, take care of it on the front end before that cancer comes, before that heart starts going bad. Are you accelerating in that department? Maybe you could speak to that among your the members here with the food and commercial workers.
Sure thing. We've got a new chief medical officer, Dr. Anita, as she's affectionately referred to here, and she's published on our website that wellness portion, which is so true. You know, food be thy medicine, and we have to change our habits as a society. This gets into big stuff, but that is the root of a lot of these issues. And the unfortunate thing is we can't always measure the effectiveness of some of these programs. If it was more quantitative, if I could say we can stand up this program here, health and wellness and smoking cessation, and you go to the gym and you show us you went to the gym, and that you can get these kind of reductions, kind of like in the auto industry. Do you want your insurance company to have all the metrics on your car, how fast you're going and this and that for discounts? I think we're headed there. I think somebody's going to do it right. There's some interesting stuff going on in the industry in that area. We're doing it. We're doing it slowly. It is part of the root of the problem, but it's tough to measure, Flash.
Glenn, one of the things that came up dramatically during the pandemic, and the food and commercial workers are on the front line, they had to put up with a lot during that time. And I'm referring to mental health and the resources for mental health, because that is such a huge issue today. How are we doing in that regard with regard to the National Health and Welfare Fund?
Well, that's where we listened to our members just recently, Flash, because seeing behavioral health, and we got the mental health parity that we need to adhere to, it's there was a wait time for psychiatrists, psychologists, 6 months, 5 months. That's unacceptable. We can't have that. And that's another root of other issues. So we partnered with a telehealth platform, and this kind of casts a much wider net of access to providers that you wouldn't have, especially you were talking to John from the News Guild. He talked about these news deserts. Well, we have these healthcare deserts.
Mm-hmm.
And they really exist. And so this kind of telehealth platform helps us extend that, where people wouldn't have this access. They've got access to providers, facilities, doctors that they wouldn't have through this platform. It's not secret sauce. It's not going to cure everything, but it definitely gives options to our memberships. It's a really, really important topic, this mental health. You could see, you read the newspaper, it's affecting everybody. Our members are embracing and excited about this telehealth platform that gives us more options.
One more question here, and this is about growing the union. And we're seeing a lot of organizing going on. We're seeing unions grow. A lot of people, especially young people, are realizing what they get from a union. And I'm going to throw out a couple of names here. Well, let's start off with Trader Joe's. I mean, you're seeing, you know, grocery stores like Trader Joe's go union. And the primary reason is because, well, they went through the pandemic. They didn't feel safe in their job. The wages are low. But then you throw in the benefits. Don't you see that as a key in driving more union membership? Say, you know what? I'm tired of this place. I'm going to a place that's a union shop. How do you react to that?
Yeah, Gen Z is listening a little bit to their parents and realizing what they're going through, and that, look, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Right.
It's so true. And with the pandemic, too, we saw young people struggling, too, in certain precincts. And you're right. And, you know, what's in the papers is, you know, Starbucks, Amazon, a little bit organizing in those areas. Trader Joe's has always been pretty progressive in a lot of ways. And there is an appeal. Maybe not so much with the pension, because the pension defined benefit has more appeal to somebody later on in life, but definitely the health care benefits, no question about it. And unions fight to take care of underserved communities and make sure that they're represented and get the benefits that they deserve. Hardworking people on the front line. Even fast food workers, I'm thinking, you know, there will be the day for that. And that would probably be a UFCW campaign. So you're absolutely right, Flash. It's changing. And unions are seen differently. And there's a different flavor of how it's approached.
It's good to be on the right side of that change. That's what we want. No doubt about it. Glenn DiBiase joining us on our live line. He is the fund administrator for the Food and Commercial Workers National Health and Welfare Fund. Website is UFCWNationalFund.org. UFCWNationalFund.org. Glenn, you take care. Stay in touch, okay, brother?
Flash, thank you so much. Take care. Continue the good work.
All right, that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the American Federation of Government Employees and the Teamsters in Chicago. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.